Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we have with us the black belt world champion, Jessa Khan, a rising superstar in jiu-jitsu, training out of the art of jiu-jitsu. Everyone knows her. Everyone knows the gym. So, Jessa, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today?
Hi. I just want to say thank you so much for having me on the podcast. You know, I love that it's a woman-only podcast. I think that's awesome. So I'll give you a little background about my history with jiu-jitsu. I actually started jiu-jitsu in Hawaii. I started when I was about 8 years old at a Helston Gracie jiu-jitsu gym. In order for me to get there, my dad was actually in the Navy. So we moved around a lot. And prior to me moving to Hawaii, I was actually doing karate. And I was actually looking for a karate gym to train at in Hawaii, but I never found one that I liked. And in that same shopping plaza was actually a jiu-jitsu school. So my dad was like, oh, how about we just try this martial art, see if it's like similar to karate, see if I enjoy it too. And then I ended up liking it from the first day. So I kind of just like stuck with it.
Amazing. And when was that? How long have you been training?
I've been training for probably like 14 years now.
So everything feels so natural because you've been doing it since you were a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for like most of my life. So yeah, everything definitely does come natural. You know, this jiu-jitsu is pretty much like all I know right now.
Wow. And why don't you talk us through a little bit about how you're prepping for your fight?
Okay, yeah, so I'm fighting Danielle Kelly next week, actually. It came around pretty fast. But, you know, preparation's been going good. You know, I don't, like, for any event, whether it's a super fight or it's a tournament, like, I train normal. Like, I don't, like, do anything extra for it. You know, I think, like, every competition, every super fight that I do is always important. So I kind of have just, like, the same structure throughout the whole event. So, yeah, I've been training normal, you know, training no-gi a couple times a day, doing extra drill sessions, you know, studying my fight that I did with her about 2 years ago, and then also, you know, trying to rewatch, like, some of her recent fights with one.
So you do study your opponents?
Yes, when it comes to a super fight, I do. I like to study just enough to see, like, you know, what they're good at and, like, you know, how their matches have been going so far against, like, certain people. But, you know, I try not to overthink where, like, that stuff gets into my head. Because, you know, I still want to, you know, just focus on myself, focus on my jiu-jitsu and, like, what I can do to her in the fight.
Would you adapt your game, for example, to outmatch her?
Yeah, so there are certain people we're going to have to use certain strategies against. Like I said, I already fought her one time, so I'm kind of experienced with how, like, she feels and what techniques work against her, what techniques don't. When we fought 2 years ago, the rule set was pretty similar to ones, except it was just 15 minutes, so it was a little bit longer, but same thing, submission only. I did come out with the win, but unfortunately I was not able to get the submission. So that's something that I wanted to work on for this fight, is getting the submission. You know, I did try a couple submissions back then, and, you know, just since she was very flexible and had a good defense, there were certain submissions I couldn't hit on her. So now after rewatching that, you know, now I see that there are different submissions that I can try to hit this time around that, like, she won't be able to defend because she's, like, flexible and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, you talked about keeping things the same with your training. Does that help with your mental prep, the fact that you're not sort of work, like, you don't change much, your body's used to this, you know the drill? Can you talk us through your mental preparation for a super fight or even just a really big competition like Worlds or something?
Yeah, so, you know, mental like awareness, you know, actually only recently I feel like I've taken it a lot more serious, just because, you know, I finally started struggling through stuff myself. You know, growing up I never really had negative thoughts like that, just because I always was on a good career path with my jiu-jitsu. And, like, as I became a black belt for almost, I think, 3 years now, I started facing some challenges that made me feel like, you know, bad about myself or negative thoughts. You know how it is, like, when you lose. So that's something that, like, I had to take on, like, more serious, like, my mental health. And, you know, like I said, for this fight, I do have some confidence in myself because I did already beat her once. You know, it is a little nervous just because they are really trying to hype up this fight. And, you know, I also know that she's very hungry to come after me, even after the first fight that we did, like, right after she did, like, a post-fight interview and she already wanted to go with me again. So, yeah, no, it's a lot of pressure just because this is my first time working with one. I know that it's a different type of stage, you know. This one's definitely a bigger event. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like we're going to be fighting in the cage. There's going to be lots of fans. So they're trying to hype it up a lot on like social media and stuff. So that is a little nervous. But, you know, I'm still confident in myself with my jiu-jitsu. And I know that like no matter what happens, like that I will still come out with the win just because you know, I believe that I have the best training. You know, I'm at the best academy, I have the best training partners. And, you know, I just won one of the biggest tournaments of the world, and I feel like, you know, I'm just like on a high like right now.
You definitely are. You definitely are. And everyone knows you. That's incredible. Now, one thing I've noticed, that the fighting card is incredible because it has so many female matches and you don't see that very often. Why do you think it's important for that more shows have cards with more women's matches? What do women bring to these shows? Because mostly, like we see in jiu-jitsu, there's a card with mainly men and one or two female fights, whereas this card is it turned everything upside down. So why do you think it's important for shows to have more female fights, and what do women bring to these shows?
Yes, I think that's very important. I really like what ONE's doing for the sport, and it's great because it's not also helping jiu-jitsu, it's also helping other martial arts. So, you know, I see people that are doing like Muay Thai, MMA, boxing. I think that's really awesome, you know, because not only giving me, you know, a chance to, you know, win and have all the spotlight, but also like these other females, you know, I know that like every one of these girls are working very hard, and I think that's just such an amazing opportunity by ONE for, you know, doing this. I think it definitely will draw a lot of attention because this is the first time ever that you see an all-female card. And it's just like, it's also a bunch of different sports. I think that's very entertaining, you know. And, you know, I think that more events should have more female cards. Like, you know, pretty recently, I feel like a lot more girls, like especially for my weight class, like have been doing really good in competition and being like more exciting than like some of the men. And I hear like those comments a lot recently. And so I think just women should just start getting more recognition for like all their hard work, because it's like, it's honestly equal. Like, it's not like men are working harder than women. So I don't know why they deserve more of a like opportunity than women, but that's just how it is. But I'm very happy that ONE's like starting to change that. And, you know, this is going to be a part of history. You know, I have the opportunity to become the first female to win the belt for submission grappling. And I think that's awesome because, you know, obviously it's like for myself and for the sport, but also for like the next generation. You know, I teach a bunch of little girls and, you know, they're always saying that they want to be like me or they want to be a competitor and do win all these competitions. So like, I'm just trying to set an example for the younger generation, because eventually I want them to get to, you know, the stage where I'm at, or, you know, even more.
And you've been around competitions loads. What's your experience on equality in exposure, equality on pay? What do you sense as a female athlete?
I mean, I feel like every year it's starting to get a little bit better. You know, of course, like this year is probably the best so far, and, you know, hopefully in the next years it gets even better. You know, recently, you know, we had organizations like ONE starting to have an all-female card. And then like 2 weeks ago, we had BJJ Stars. They actually gave the same payout to the men's like absolute brackets. I think that's awesome. And this is like how it needs to be. This is how the sport's going to grow, and especially for women's jiu-jitsu, this is how it's going to grow. And like I said, I think it should have always been equal, especially now that like more that we're getting more exciting female fighters. You know, like I said, some of them like put on better shows than the guys. And sometimes like the girls are actually the ones bringing in like more of like the viewers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's something which is, I think jiu-jitsu and sport is a sort of microcosm for what's happening in society. You know, it's exactly the same. You have women doing the same jobs as men and getting paid less. And I think it's really cool to see because jiu-jitsu is a fairly small community in comparison. So it's very, 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 it's very cool to see. Have you seen, do you think that's changed much in the last couple of years? Has that gotten, like, has that happened suddenly over the last few years? Or do you think that's been a really gradual transition over the last 14?
I'd say only a couple years ago, it recently started to be like that. Because even some organizations I still see today are still like underpaying the girls, but like overpaying the guys. And I'm just like, why? Like they're both putting in the same amount of work and, you know, they both have like the same amount of people in the division. So I don't really understand that.
Yeah. I mean, as a young girl, because you have been doing this for a long time, how did you think about it? Because you must have been around where there were like no other girls. I don't know what your early jiu-jitsu life was like, but did you have other girls around you? And because you must get this now when you have like new white belts and they see you and they go, wow, I can be like Jessa, I can be that black belt. But did you have that female role model when you were starting out? And what was your thought process about taking it on as a career?
Yeah, so actually growing up, I never had a female presence in my jiu-jitsu journey. Like I said, my dad was in the Navy, so we moved around a lot. You know, I've been to a couple states, and none of those gyms I went to ever had, like, a female instructor. So I guess, like, that's something that always stuck with me and also pushed me to, you know, put myself out there and get better, because I knew that, like, once I got older and, like, a black belt, that I wanted to eventually become that figure to other little girls, because, you know, it's something that I wish I had. You know, there was nothing wrong with having, you know, a male professor or anything, but, you know, it is different when you have someone that's a female. You know, you can relate more to them. And so now, like, I'm a black belt, I'm teaching at Art of Jiu-Jitsu, I teach about 4 classes a day, and like, we have a great kids program, especially with all the little girls. You know, they all want to be like little athletes, and I think it's so awesome. And like, it's good because it's not only me that's one of the female instructors, we also have like quite a few other girls that also help lead the program. I think that's awesome because you know, I never had that, and I'm grateful that I get to finally be that person for someone else. And you know, even I actually teach the basics class, so I teach about 3 kids classes and then 1 basics class, so it's for people that are just starting jiu-jitsu. And it's cool because every basics class, we have 1 female instructor in each of those classes. Just because, you know, if you're getting a new girl to try jiu-jitsu, you know, it's a little awkward for them. So, like, they feel comfortable. There's, like, another girl to help them out with jiu-jitsu. You know, obviously, they see a black belt, and they're, like, that's the one that, you know, could work with them.
Wow, that's incredible that there's a female in every, there's a female instructor in every basics class. That's really good. Normally... No, I'm not going to generalize, but some athletes don't have that instructor persona. Did you have to work to get that, or were you natural? Like, do you like teaching? Did you have to adapt to become a good teacher? How did that look like?
Yeah, so whenever I became a juvenile, whenever I started getting my blue belt at like 16, that's when I actually started teaching. During that time, I was only teaching about 1 class a day. And that was, you know, just to start getting experience, get more comfortable, you know, teaching kids, teaching adults, because I knew eventually I wanted to be like a head instructor there. Because honestly, even at AOJ, you know, even though I was like blue belt or like green belt there, we still never had female presence. You know, it was just Professor Gee, Professor Hoffa, which they're obviously, you know, great athletes, great instructors, but so we never had a female black belt instructor. So then I'm actually the first one. You know, I'm the first black belt from Art of Jiu-Jitsu. So I kind of took on that role for, you know, AOJ. And, you know, I'm happy that I got to take that role on. So, yeah, I had to start figuring that out at, like, 16 at Blue Belt. And then, yeah, after, you know, I went up to, like, purple, brown, black, you know, I started increasing my classes, starting getting more comfortable teaching the kids and adults, you know, building relationships with them, you know, helping them out. And now it's, like, pretty successful.
Shanti, this is insane. She's a blue belt.
I know.
She's a blue belt. And, oh, gosh, wow.
Oh, recently you had an interview with Flow Grappling after your big win at Worlds, and you mentioned that you had thought about changing careers maybe because of negative thoughts. Can you talk us through a little bit about that? Because being an athlete is, I think, one of the most full-time, biggest commitments you can really do, because it takes over everything. Can you talk us through how you deal with the negative thoughts as well, and how you navigate that territory? Because a lot of young women might be seeing you now and going, wow, I want to do that. But actually, what's it really like for a woman in this sport?
Yeah, so I've been a black belt for about 3 years now. And throughout my whole career, you know, I was very successful from a kid all the way up to, like, you know, my black belt. I feel like for me, the hardest part was the change going from, you know, brown belt to black belt, because throughout the color belts, I never really had anyone that was challenging me in the division. So whenever I got to the black belt, you know, everyone has been training for like 5 years. Everyone's like a world champion already. So like every fight that you do, it's like a tough one. There's no easy fights. And that was something that I struggled with, because I wasn't used to having someone that was, you know, very challenging for every single fight. And, you know, that's not my fault. It's just the way things played out. But, yeah, so I was struggling with that for, like, the first 2 years of my career. You know, I did have a couple wins during my black belt career, but also, like, mostly losses. And I didn't really know how to handle that because I wasn't used to it. You know, so, like, you know how, like, when someone loses, you want to go back to the academy, you know, train hard, prepare for the next. No, I kept doing that, but then, like, I kept losing and kept losing. Then it was just, like, a cycle. I'm, like, then, you know, you start to build these negative thoughts, like, you know, should I even keep doing this? Like, what's the point? Like, I keep working hard, and, like, things are still not working out. You know, I'm still not able to win anything. And those, like, negative thoughts started taking control of my life. You know, it made me not even enjoy training. So, like, I didn't even want to go because I wasn't having fun, because, like, normally in training, my goal, like, I always had goal, like, oh, I'm going to do this tournament. So that's, like, my reason to train hard. But then, like, that started fading away, and it made me question about everything, about, like, you know, if I should stick with jiu-jitsu, if, like, this is something I still wanted to do, if I still wanted to be a black belt world champion, which that was everyone's main goal growing up. And, yeah, so I had those negative thoughts. I was really close to actually switching because, you know, because of those negative thoughts. But I even, like, talked to Professor Gi, who, like, I'm really close with. I've known him since I was an orange belt. And I was just talking to him about, like, how I was feeling about my career. I was really going to stop. Like, he was trying to help me because he just wants me to be happy. So he was, like, trying to help me figure out ways that, like, that I can still work with jiu-jitsu without being a competitor. Or, like, I was even thinking about doing, like, something completely different, like real estate agent or something. But, yeah, it was crazy, yeah, to have, like, those negative thoughts and, like, for them to, like, take over. You know, I was really close to doing it. But then, you know, it's also the people that you surround yourself with. Like, people at AOJ, I don't know if – I'm sure you guys have seen online, but, you know, everybody's very, like, hungry and like-minded. You know, everyone's trying to chase after that world title and be, like, a superstar in the sport. And, like, it's hard to be around that because – you know, if you start having negative thoughts and feel like you don't want to be there or, like, don't want to compete, like, you can't really think like that because everyone else is like, no, I want to be a world champion. Like, we have to train hard. And then, so, yeah, all those people are kind of, like, what pushed me to, like, keep going and do better. You know, my boyfriend played a huge role in that. I actually started jiu-jitsu with him, and now we're, like, both black belts. So, you know, he just got his black belt, like, the end of December, so he's pretty recently black belt. And, you know, he's been with me through my ups and downs of, like, my career. So, you know, he knows, and he's actually been there since day one, since I was the white belt. So So he's part of like what helped me push, because you know he's a brand new black belt and he's very hungry, so he knows that like things take time and that like I shouldn't just stop now. So that's what made me keep going. And then I was just really trying to think, like, you know, I dedicated a lot, like most of my life, to jiu-jitsu. You know, I made a lot of sacrifices. My parents made sacrifices for me to get here. And I just thought that, like, you know, if I were to stop now, and then in like 2 years, I look back, like, I knew I would regret it, especially knowing that I didn't give like 100% of myself to like the sport. So yeah, so this, last year I was like feeling like all these thoughts. And then that's why like the first two worlds that I did, like I felt really bad because of like my negative thoughts and stuff. And then I just wasn't having confidence myself. But after I lost worlds last year, I decided to take a break from competing. So I actually took 3 months off from competing. I was still training just because I wanted to get my groove back and like actually enjoy training without putting the stress of like doing a competition right away. So yeah, so I took 3 months off from competition. You know, I started to really enjoy training again. You know, I started figuring out like small goals or challenges in the training that I could like go after and get hungry about. And then yeah, 3 months after that, I ended up signing up for Jiu-Jitsu Con in Vegas and had 2 fights and I won. And I felt like myself again. And, you know, sometimes, like, I think people need, you need breaks. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are people that like to do competitions every week. There are people that like to do once a month or twice a year. Like, it's honestly up to you. I mean, whatever makes you happy. And, you know, as long as you're still training and, like, liking it. And for me, that's, like, what worked. So, yeah, after that, I ended up doing another competition a month after. You know, I felt like I had my groove back. And then, yeah. So, that's what happened to me.
Wow. I mean, a new black belt, as you say, you're fighting people who've been world champions for 5 years or however long. You know, that's a massive, it's a massive jump to sort of be in that pool of people. You're no longer in that, every, you know, two years per belt sort of bracket. Yeah, that sounds like a really big sort of growth experience to have gone through, because I mean, now you know, you've been that, you've done the lows, and now you can understand how to like bring yourself back out of that. Do you have any sort of advice for younger female athletes coming up? Because, you know, everyone will have their challenges and you've had this big experience. So what would you say to them if someone came up to you and was like, I'm not enjoying this anymore. Like, how do I, but I've always wanted to be a world champion. What would you say?
I'd say to like, you know, really sit down with yourself and be honest and, you know, really think about your goals and like all the sacrifices you've done already and like that you're just so close. And like, that's honestly how I felt. And like, that's why like winning worlds was like such a big deal for me, because I proved to myself that I could do it. And like that camp for worlds, like I literally like, you know, I focused on like not putting too much pressure on myself for winning worlds, because like you have to take it one match at a time. But, you know, just trying to, you know, work hard, but also like still have fun, still enjoy it. And then, yeah, things just ended up working out. For me, it was about making it to Sunday. So for, I don't know if you guys know, but for worlds, it's a little bit different than the guys. You actually have to do all your fights on Saturday and then only the finals on Sunday, versus the guys have to do just one fight Saturday and then you do all your other fights on Sunday. But for girls, it was always hard for me to make it to that second day, because I would always lose like this the first or the second round. I could never get past it, make it to Sunday. That's something that I really wish I could say, like that I made it to Sunday. And then, you know, I ended up having 3 tough fights on Saturday. And then, yeah, after I won my semifinals, me and my coach, Professor Gi, we got really excited because we were like, wow, we're in the finals for Sunday for Worlds. And, you know, that was my first goal. And, you know, I accomplished that. And then after that, it was just like, okay, now my next goal is to try to win this finals match. And then I ended up doing it. And it was like the best feeling ever. Just, you know, knowing that I actually put 100%, like, you know, training, you know, physical, like mental, and like, it just, it worked out.
I've got two questions. So first question, you said that you never actually experienced the lows throughout the color belts, and you actually did it when you actually experienced the low when you were a black belt. Did that give you something? Like, are you feeling like a different person, a different athlete? That's the first question. Actually, answer that, and then I'll ask you the next one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks losing, but I think it's a lesson that everyone needs to learn. And I know a lot of people always say that, like, oh, like, you didn't lose, you learned or something. But it's, you know, I used to think it was cringy hearing that. But then, but then I started experiencing it. I'm like, no, like, it's honestly actually true. Like, you know, all those losses, like, they've helped me become a better person. You know, like, it, in the moment, it's really sad, and, you know, it's tough on yourself, but all of those, like, shaped me to be, like, better, you know? I feel a lot better about myself, about my jiu-jitsu training, about my career, and, you know, things are working out.
And the next question. So you talked us through the whole journey to go back into Worlds and win it, but can you tell us how, like, what did you actually think minutes before the fight? Because that's when people, like, when self-doubt creeps in, minutes before the fight, how, or in the morning of, how do you bloody keep it all together and go?
So I'll actually walk you through it. So at Worlds for Sundays, you know, they split the mats up, and they just put one big mat. And then they have a second mat, which is, like, the podium and, like, all the medals. And it's in Long Beach, California. It's at the Pyramid. And, you know, growing up, I always see, you know, Professor Gi, Professor Hoffa, you know, making it to the finals day for Worlds. And, like, I remember sitting on, like, you know, the yellow bleachers and looking down, seeing them on the big mats. And I always imagined that, you know, I would be there one day and I'd get to experience that. And so I finally did, and I thought it was, you know, nervous, but also, like, amazing at the same time, because, so, like I said, they have a big mat, and then, in the corners, there's two corners, there's a big yellow mat, and then it's a big yellow mat on the other side, and it's just, like, you and your opponent, and you guys are kind of, like, staring at each other, but also staring at the match that's happening before you, and then, you know, the crowd's, like, screaming, because it's, like, a big bleacher is, like, in, like, a circle, and I'm just, like, oh my god, this is it. And it was so nervous because I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I made it here. And, you know, it was just crazy, you know, just looking up at all the lights, looking at all my teammates, you know, my professor. You know, I was the second weight category that they were showing for the females. So I got to see one fight before I went. And, you know, it was just nervous. And I'm like, oh my god, if this girl gets submission early, I have to go right now. And I was just hoping that they make it to the full 10 minutes so I'd still have time, because I was so nervous. And, you know, the match went all the way. And I was like, okay, all right, it's my turn. Let's do this. And then, yeah, I went out on the mats. You know, it was nervous. But, you know, I've put myself in situations where, you know, I know how to handle the pressure. And I knew that, you know, when I signed up for the tournament, or at least when I showed up on competition day on Saturday, that this is my day. And, you know, it was amazing. Such an amazing feeling.
Do you have, like, a mantra or something you tell yourself in those situations to keep yourself in the moment and not kind of start worrying? Does that not a problem for you?
Yeah, so I don't really have, like, something that I tell myself. It just, yeah, there's not really anything that I tell myself. It's just after I started losing and, like, I slowly, like, worked my way back into competition, I just would always start telling myself that, just to, like, enjoy it, to have fun. Cause I do, you know, I do enjoy the pressure. You know, I've been experiencing it since I was, like, 8 years old competing. But, you know, recently after I took that break, I had to think more about, like, you know, actually, like, having fun in the competitions, like how it's supposed to be, and not putting too much, like, stress or pressure to win. But of course, when you're, like, actually at the finals and everyone's there, you're like, okay, you got to do this. You got to win. And I just knew that, like, for me, like, I needed this one world title, and I'm like, this is my shot. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if there's going to be another time where I can make it this far, you know, and this is like, you can do it. And, you know, it was just, it was a really good fight.
I give you a tricky question.
Okay.
How do we get more women into martial arts?
That is a good question. honestly, that's a hard question. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's no like perfect answer on like getting women to start training like martial arts. But, you know, I definitely see a lot more females doing it now because of, you know, everything going on like in the world, and that more females, you know, they want to learn how to protect themselves. And I feel like, you know, like I mentioned, I teach a basics class, and the most common thing, because every time like a new woman like comes to try the class, I always ask her like, oh, like what brought you here? What made you want to join the academy? And they always say like, you know, like for like self-defense or something, you know, they want to just, you know, be able to take care of themselves in case something happens, or, you know, and just also like, I think jiu-jitsu is great. Any martial art is great because it teaches you how to like build confidence in yourself. You know, obviously, you know, you get to do something physical, so you stay fit, you know, you learn to take care of yourself. And I think that's the main reason why people should join jiu-jitsu. And that's why most people do. But yeah, that's all I could say about it.
It's amazing that women walk through the AOJ, the best academy in the world.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because some people, like, they don't even know that, like, it's the best jiu-jitsu gym. It's just because, like, they live in the area, they pass by it on the street. They're like, oh, let me check out this place. It looks cool. And then they're like, what is jiu-jitsu? And all this stuff. But, yeah, and then after they start getting into it, they're like, whoa, I'm actually training at the best jiu-jitsu gym. And then they start training more.
So can you just talk us, I mean, I don't know if we've covered this, but maybe just talk us through a little bit about the reality of choosing jiu-jitsu as a career.
Yeah, so for me, you know, ever since I started jiu-jitsu, I always enjoyed it. You know, I thought, you know, as a little kid, it was a great, like, sport for me to do. You know, also, you know, being a little girl, you know, just already starting to build that confidence in myself, you know, just being able to beat up boys, like, that were bigger than me, make them cry, you know, that's a confidence booster right there. And then, you know, I just made a lot of friends from that. And, you know, it's nice to be a part of something where you have, like, friends, and, like, you can do, like, get along with them and, like, do, like, the same activity with them. So, you know, I had a group of friends, you know, Zach was one of them that was in my friend group. And, you know, we always, you know, just hung out, trained together, and it was just a lot of fun. And I wanted to keep doing that. So after, because I lived in Hawaii for 2 years, and after that, I had moved to Maine for a year. And actually, at that academy, that's really where my jiu-jitsu took off, I feel like. Because I was actually a yellow belt, so I went from white to yellow. And then I started competing, like, every single weekend at, like, a Naga tournament. And then that's kind of, like, how I built, like, myself up on social media and stuff. And, like, yeah, but at that academy, actually, that I was training at in Maine, they actually didn't have a kids program, which was crazy. They didn't have a kids program. So I was just training with adults. And, yeah, that was it. So it was pretty amazing that I was, you know, like, I'm pretty small already. And, like, imagine, like, at, like, 10 years old. So I was trying to train with adults because that was, like, the only jiu-jitsu gym near my house. So I had to, like, work with what I had. And, like, I was still able to, you know, do good in the competition. And then, so I lived there for about a year. I was doing that, you know, there was a couple times on the weekends where I would cross train at, like, an open mat or something, you know, finally be able to train with some kids. But mostly during the week, I just trained with adults. And then after that, I moved to Virginia for almost 4 years. And finally, that academy actually had a kids program, but the kids weren't that high level, so I still did the adult class. But I was a bit bigger. But yeah, probably whenever I already knew, like, ever since I started jiu-jitsu, because, you know, all my friends would be like, you know, we're all like little, like, yellow belts. We're all be like, oh, I want to be a black belt world champion, or, like, you know, all this stuff that we've seen on social media. So I always had the thought that I wanted to do something with jiu-jitsu, but I didn't realize, and probably until I was about a green belt when I moved back to AOJ, that I really wanted to do it like full time. Just because whenever you turn, like, 15 and a half to, like, 16, you start becoming a juvenile and getting a blue belt. And you get to fight all the IBJJF tournaments with the adults. And I knew that in order for me to, you know, be a successful black belt, I need to start focusing more on my career at that age, because those 2 years of juvenile where you're 16 and 17, they go by fast, and then it's just purple, brown, black. And those are the years that I was actually starting high school, so I decided to be homeschooled. And that's why I decided to be homeschooled, just so I can take more focus on my career, you know, so I had more free time to, you know, train and do other stuff to, like, help benefit that. And I think it was a great decision because it got me to my goals a lot faster.
Wow. Mm. At 16, because that's a lot of people at 16, no idea where they are, let alone what they want to do when they're, you know, as a career. Have you always had that sort of sureness about, is that part of your identity? I mean, where's that come from?
Yeah, so another question that someone asked me was about, like, what my parents think about that. But, you know, my parents were always supportive, whether I always did a lot of sports growing up, but, you know, jiu-jitsu was probably my favorite. But my parents were always, like, into sports and, like, always, you know, encouraging me to do a sport, and they were supportive with whatever sport that was. So whenever they seen, I think, something that gave them reassurance, because, you know, most of the time, you know, growing up, people don't want to, like, have their kids homeschooled or, like, have them just do sports as a career. They want you to be, like, a doctor or a lawyer and stuff. But I think what gave my parents reassurance is that, like, I was actually doing good. Like, I was actually, like, winning competitions, like, proving to them that, like, I'm actually, like, good at this. And, like, this is something that I actually really enjoy. So I think that's what made them also say yes. And then, yeah, so, you know, that was a big decision, you know, homeschooling for high school. And, yeah, so my dad was in the Navy for 20 years. And then whenever I was a green belt, we ended up moving back to AOJ at the end of 2016. And then my dad retired, and then I got my blue belt to start being juvenile. Yeah, so then, you know, that was a big step for us because they moved to California for me just so we can train at AOJ. So we moved the whole family there. But then my parents were like, okay, once you get your black belt, we're leaving. We don't want to stay here anymore. So now they live in Texas. But, wow. Yeah, you know, they've sacrificed a lot. And, you know, all of it's paying off, and that's my main thing of what I wanted to do, you know, make sure that anything that I do that, like, pays off, especially knowing that I spent most of my life already dedicated to the sport. And I think that's what pushes me to keep going.
Fantastic. Can I ask, Shanti, can I ask a last question before our final? Jessa, will we ever see you trash talking to get the views up for a fight?
It's not my main thing. I'm not really the type of person to, you know, speak like that. But if someone does end up saying something, you know, disrespectful or rude, I will back myself up.
Nice.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Very diplomatic.
So, yeah. So next week is my fight with Danielle for ONE Championship for Submission Grappling on Amazon Prime. You know, while we're there, probably like the day before, probably do a press conference, so that'll be interesting to see what happens.
I can't wait always, to watch that.
Yeah, it's always nervous because you never know what the person's gonna say.
Wow.
Imagine if she comes fire on you. Are you able to think very quick to be like, mean face?
I don't know. That's why I said, you know, I'll be nice and respectful, but if she's disrespectful, then I don't know.
Because some people just they don't expect it, and they're like freeze at the moment, and then when they hear the interview back, they go, oh, I should have said that, and I should have said that. Anyway, Shanti.
So this is our last question we ask all of our guests. Don't think too much about it. It's just whatever comes to mind. What are you fighting for?
I'm fighting for women's jiu-jitsu, women, you know, of martial arts. You know, like I said, this is the first time that all females of different sports, of different martial arts are on, you know, the same card. I think that's amazing. And I want to be someone that, you know, helps grow the sport, whether it's for jiu-jitsu or MMA or any of these other sports that are also on the same card as me. And, you know, like, my main thing is to, you know, get women to do jiu-jitsu, to do martial arts. You know, I think it's great. You know, we need more women that can be more confident, that can, you know, take care of themselves. And, you know, jiu-jitsu is a great way to do that. It's not too physical. You can still be, like, a little lazy playing guard and stuff. But, you know, I think it's great. And, you know, I'm very grateful I have this opportunity to, you know, be someone of, like, history to, like, try to win the belt and, you know, make a big name for the sport, for, you know, submission grappling. I think, you know, it's going to take things to the next level.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
We know that your match is going to be unstoppable. No stopping, no stalling, nothing. So we can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a really nice time talking to you guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk and check out our website for more content.